Hello, and welcome to this episode of The Financial Translator, where we discuss financial topics in layman's terms to move you from confusion to confidence on a given topic. I am your host, Kirk Krekemeyer, the principal advisor at Pebble Valley Wealth Management. We are a fee-only financial advisory firm helping our clients make informed decisions on their road toward financial security. You can find more information at pvwealthmgt.com. On today's show, I'm going to provide a market update with returns through December 31st, 2022. Happy New Year, by the way. I also provide this monthly market update as a blog post, which includes graphs that I'll reference today and give you some of the numbers I'll point out as well. The general format that I cover for this market update is going to be the same, which includes the following. I'm going to update you on the major market asset classes and any noteworthy moves for the month. I'm going to update you on the treasury markets and interest rate moves. We'll comment about the Federal Reserve and the recent actions from their recent FOMC meetings. And then any special topics this month, I'm going to talk about the housing market and interest rates impact in there. As a brief legal disclaimer, my discussions here should not be construed as financial or investment advice, and each person's situation is unique. All right, let's go. So jumping to the major asset classes, on my blog post, I show a table of some of the major asset class returns, both on a monthly and year-to-date basis. And then I also, a bit below that, show a graph which includes similar major asset classes, but you can see how the performance has occurred throughout the year. I'm going to be referencing year-to-date total returns. That includes reinvested dividends. So looking at the U.S. equity market, looking at S&P 500, SPY ETF, that total return was down 18.6% for the year. Small caps were down using the IWM, was down about 21.5%. On the international side, the developed markets, think Europe, Australia, Asia, the Far East, that ticker EFA is down 15%, 14.9 to be exact. And then the emerging markets on the international side is down just over 21%. Jumping over to bonds, which had a very rough year. We'll talk about that later. But the overall aggregate bond index, U.S. bonds, again, total return basis, so reinvested of dividend coupons, was down about 12.5%. High-yield bonds using the HYG was down about 11% later. TIPS market, if you were short-duration TIPS, you were only down about 2.9%. Longer-duration TIPS, down 11.5%. So I'll mention that as well. And not shown in the graph on my website if you go there, but the commodities, which had a very, very strong year, those were up over 16%. Over plus 16%. And then I also don't show on the graph, but energy sector had a very strong run as part of the commodity driver. And then any trend following strategies, if those few that have had those, did extremely well, 40 plus percent returns on some of those indices. So that's a quick recap of year-to-date returns. Specifically looking now at December market and what's been going on, late in November, in fact, November 30th, there was a Powell speech that the market viewed as very positive, and the markets were rallying very strong last day of November. And that carried through, and the markets held throughout the first part of the month of December. But then the FOMC meeting, which concluded on December 14th, reversed that. Market realized that Powell wasn't as dovish as he was. The market perceived him as, and so the market pulled back since then. And so the U.S. market, just for the month alone, call it down 6%. A little bit of variation between large caps and small caps, but down about 6%. U.S. REITs were down about 5%. On the international side, again on the monthly basis, they actually did quite a bit better. Developed markets were flat for the month, and emerging markets were only down 1.4%. In November, a big driver of the outperformance of international equities was captured by the weakening U.S. dollar. That added a little bit this month, maybe 1%, but definitely that was not the big driver this month. I'd say in the developed markets, there was a lot of concerns about having a very severe energy crisis with the winter months in Europe due to the Ukraine war. That is not playing out as severe as people thought. And then over on the China side, on the emerging market side, they backed off on their zero COVID policy. So things are starting to pick up again. Looking at the year-to-date column in there, what is the worst performing one? The red box that stands out, it's going to be the the long duration, long maturity treasury bonds. So the 30-year treasury bonds was down over 33% for the full year of 2022. That compares to down roughly 20% for equities in general. So definitely the bond market got clocked this year. The longer the duration, the more it got clocked. On the positive side, the biggest positive return on this graph, again, those commodities I talked about being plus 16%. Jumping to the graph below that, so again, still talking about asset class returns here. News this year is going to be interest rates. Interest rates rose quite a bit and bond prices were down. So people who had a balanced portfolio, yes, equities were down, but bonds were also down in similar magnitude. So it was pretty painful from that perspective. The one interesting thing, though, you know, looking at the returns from the bond market, you know, both investment grade bonds and high yield bonds had very similar returns. You know, call it down 11%, 11 to 12%. Again, most of the story was the underlying treasury rates rising, causing bond prices to fall. It was definitely not a credit story in 2022. Something to watch in 2023, but was not the case in 2022. And then further below that, again, still with asset classes, but drilling inside of the U.S. equity asset class here. Typically, I like to look at growth versus value, and then another layer deeper would be the different sectors of the S&P 500. Definitely, the again, with the rising interest rates, the growth stocks, technology stocks, high earning, long-dated earnings got hit quite hard with these rising interest rates. So again, this is a frame of reference using rough numbers. S&P being down, call it 18% year-to-date. Growth was down about 33%, while the value stocks were only down 2%. So again, a very wide, you know, call it a 30% dispersion difference on growth versus value. Within the sectors, it's a pretty busy graph, but the highest earning sector, the highest returning sector in 2022 was energy. That was up over 64% for the year. Again, those are total return numbers. And the worst performing is communications, which is down about 38%. Now, you may be scratching your head thinking, well, isn't that AT&T and Verizon and T-Mobile? You know, what happened there? Yes, those companies are in that index. They've been down quite a bit, but a bigger driver, about 35% of that communications sector, the XLC is the S&P ticker, is made up of Meta, the old Facebook, and Alphabet, the old Google. So some of these tech companies, I'm going to call them tech, are classified as communications. And so that's one of the reasons why that's the big driver down there. Shifting over to the treasury market and interest rates. Definitely, I know if you listened to me last month, but I was surprised in November that interest rates, October and November, where interest rates were falling. But that definitely reversed course after the FOMC meeting, and interest rates have started to go back up again. Again, just a frame of reference here for where treasury rate levels are at. Again, these numbers are as of January the 4th, midday. So I'm recording this on Wednesday the 4th. So these were midday levels. 2-year treasury rates were 4.37, let's call it. 5-year was at 3.87. The 10-year treasury at 3.72. Notice they're going lower. And the 30-year treasury even lower, 3.66%. 10-year tip real yield, the piece excluding any inflation adjustments that you get on top of that, is at 1.49 this morning or midday. The highest number, looking at my graph, is the good old 3-month treasury bills. So that's going to be moving, or has been moving, along with the Fed interest rate increases. That currently stands above 4.5%. So 4.51 is what my Reuters screen is showing me as of midday today. So definitely, you know, some big moves out there. As I was rattling off those numbers, again, the shorter duration maturity bonds, a 3-month T-bill, a 2-year treasury, call it 4.37, 4.5, whereas the 10-year, the 30-year was down in that 3.7, 3.6 range. That's what you call an inverted yield curve. What is happening is the Federal Reserve is raising rates to fight inflation, so that's where the short end keeps going up in rates. But the market is looking ahead and saying, well, what if there's a recession? The Fed's going to have to pivot and they're going to, you know, have to start cutting rates later. So the market is pricing in that recession in the future. The question is, and the big debate in the market now is, what is the timing of that? And as that view and perception changes, you're going to see these rates potentially move higher if the Federal Reserve is not expected to cut rates as fast as the market maybe is thinking about it. If you do look at that chart, and again, let's just look at the 10-year rate and the three-month T-bill rate for those that are just listening to the podcast here. So the 2022, I mean, the story this year has been just the massive move in interest rates. So at the beginning of 2022, three-month T-bills were, you know, less than 0.1%, you know, less than 10 basis points. So you went up, you know, call it 4.4% in the course of 1 year on three-month T-bills. 10-year Treasury, let's call that at 1.5% at the beginning of 2022, and now we're looking at, you know, 3.72. Got as high as about 4.25, if I recall correctly, a couple months ago. So again, these are huge swings in the interest rate market, the bond market, and that's what caused the you know, the big losses in bond indices, and which surprised people. You know, what happened to their 60-40 balanced portfolio? You know, both equities and bonds got clocked pretty hard. So definitely, that was the big story of 2022, was this massive move in interest rates. Jumping over to the Federal Reserve, again, tied to interest rates, but specifically the Federal Reserve, they concluded their last meeting of the year on December 14th. They had been raising the federal funds rate, the short end of rate, 0.75% for the last four meetings. So they only, quote unquote, only raised it 50 basis points or 0.5% this time. So that brings the target Fed fund range from to 4.25% to 4.5%. The big surprise, though, the market was expecting a 50 basis point, you know, them to still raise quite substantially, but only do a 50 basis point move. But the other big surprise, four times a year at these FOMC meetings, the board of directors and the bank presidents, makes up 19 people looking at the dots on the report, they put out this what's called a summary of economic projections. And there's five key indicators they look at, you know, inflation, unemployment, you know, core and headline GDP. But the big thing they also list is the what do these individuals assume that the Fed funds rate will be at year end, you know, for the next couple of years. And the market was watching what that number was going to be for the 12/31/2023. So a year from now, where will the Fed funds rate be? Again, we're currently at 4.25 to 4.5. The overall average of the summary was up to 5.1%. So we're talking, let's call it a 0.75% higher from where we're at right now. So again, the Fed's not done raising rates where we're sitting here today. That number, 5.1 in the report, that was at 4.6% back in September. So you know, Powell did indicate at the November FOMC meeting press conference that expect that number to be higher. But I think the market was surprised by that. You know, they were expecting maybe 4.9 or, you know, definitely a four handle. So it took the market by surprise, having a 5.1, which again drove interest rates higher, drove equities lower, et cetera, et cetera. And then at the press conference also, you know, again, the minutes are released, the statement is released at 1 p.m. on Fed Fund Chicago time, on the Fed FOMC meeting conclusions. And then a half hour later, Chair Powell has a press conference, takes questions about, you know, 45 minutes or so. So in this press conference, a few things that stood out to me. One, he talked about the fact that inflation is high. Yes, it's coming down, but it's still damn high, and there's a lot of wood to chop yet. He broke the inflation number into three different pieces. He broke it into the goods, you know, think of, you know, supply chain and the demands. You know, yes, that's the number we're seeing that's falling. So that's good news because the supply chain stress points are not as severe anymore. And then he talked about housing, and I'm going to talk about that next. But the housing market, you're seeing, you know, increasing costs there with the higher rents and the like. And then the what's left, the non-housing services sector. He points out this makes up 55% of the index. I'm assuming he was talking about the PCE index, which is what the Fed uses. But that number, the majority number they're looking at, is very strong. You know, that's making up the wage component of the jobs market. So, yes, some inflation numbers are coming down as supply chain eases, but you got to look at the different components, and the biggest component in there is still quite hot and running pretty strong. And let's not forget the Fed's inflation target is down to 2%. I'm a bit skeptical they're going to get that low, but it's going to take them a while. And so there's definitely more rate hiking to occur. And once they do get there, you know, Powell emphasized that they intend to hold rates there for a while to see how inflation reacts. Thus, that 5.1% 12/31, you know, the year-end 2023 Fed funds number. He also mentioned, which he hasn't before, so it definitely caught my attention, he mentioned balance sheet more than a couple times in the press conference. So again, as a reminder, the Federal Reserve can raise rates to help slow things down and quell inflation, but they also have this balance sheet. And there's a graph on my blog post, but just some key numbers. You know, it goes back to 2009, and again, I got this from Jim Bianco Research. So that guy does a great job with this information. Follow him on Twitter if you want to follow some of these graphs. Back in 2009, the Fed's balance sheet, a whopping $0.5 trillion, mostly treasuries, but that was just what they needed for operations. The Great Recession, you know, 2008, 2009, 2010, they started to buy bonds, the Federal Reserve did, as a way to lower interest rates, so to provide easing, quantitative easing, this is called. So they built it up to maybe $2 trillion, then it got up to $2.5 trillion, and then I can't recall what happened in 2013, but they kept on going, and it got as high as, call it $4.25 trillion from 2014 up to 2018. That was back, Bernanke back at the time, he realized, yeah, this is probably not a good idea to carry this big of a balance sheet. So they started lowering the balance sheet, got as low as $3.5 trillion. And then it started trickling up even before COVID, but definitely once COVID hit, boom, you know, they cut the Fed funds rate to zero, and then they had to provide even more stimulus. So they started buying just a boatload of treasuries and mortgage-backed securities. So pre-COVID, or right on, you know, day before COVID blow up, we're looking at call it a $3.75 trillion balance sheet. It got as high as $8.42 trillion on April 13th, 2022. So a massive doubling, let's call it, of the Fed's balance sheet. Then the Federal Reserve announced, I think it was at the May meeting, where they're going to let they're not going to sell securities, but they're not going to reinvest all of these bonds they have on their balance sheet. So they trickled it up, but the current run rate right now, $60 billion per month of treasuries and $35 billion per month of mortgage-backed securities. So $95 billion with a B per month. So we're talking, you know, close to, you know, times 10, 9, over a trillion with a 12-month run rate here. So right now, the Fed balance sheet, it was at 8.42 on April 13th per Bianco here. And 12/28/22, it got down to just call it 8 trillion. So a half a trillion, but definitely looking at this graph, you can see they got a lot more wood to chop in terms of letting this thing run off. They're not looking to sell bonds yet, but they're going to let that balance sheet run off. What that means is, not only is the Fed raising rates, tightening things, but as they let this balance sheet roll off, that's also another form of tightening. It's a subjective estimate, different views out there, but there was a recent Fed study from the Federal Reserve study. So for every $2.5 trillion a runoff, it's about 0.5% rate hike is one estimate. So, you know, if they do get over that trillion with a 1-year run rate, that's like an extra 0.25 rate hike. So Powell was just emphasizing, yeah, we may be pausing soon. I think they're going to go another 75 basis points, 0.75. But even if they pause at that point and hold rates up there, they're still letting this balance sheet run off, which is further tightening. So he just wanted to make sure that we were aware of that you know, things are getting tighter. And then my special topic of this month, I guess related to all this interest rate rising and Fed raising rates, this is having the most direct impact, the strongest impact on the housing market. You know, two things you can look at. One is the Case-Shiller Home Price Index. That's definitely showing weakness. And one thing I'll point out, and that there's a link on my blog post if you want to dig into the details, but when you read that Case-Shiller Home Price Index or you hear it in the media, they're always going to talk about what is the home price change over the past 12 months. And because it had been skyrocketing into this, you know, Fed-induced, you know, party of all this easy money. The year-over-year change is still positive. I think it's 9.8% if you look at the latest report. This is the national number. 9.24, the report that came out December 27th from the Case-Shiller. But a couple of things I want to point out with that. One, the report is a two-month lag. So report released just last week, that is data through October. So, you know, things continue to slow. One, we got a two-month lag here. And then two, this headline number is what they talk about, but it's important to look at what the monthly changes are doing and what's been happening. So I dug into the numbers relative to the peak from the summer. You know, the overall index is down about 4.6% and likely to continue to trend down even further. So, you know, housing prices are definitely feeling the brunt of these higher rates. And then I also show, there's a graph on my website, mortgage rates. And so, you know, end of 2022, let's call it a 3% mortgage environment. And then at the end of 22 here, we're looking at a, you know, let's call it a 6.6 mortgage rate. I'm using the MBA source numbers from my data source. But overall, we're looking at a more than doubling of the mortgage rate in 2022. It even peaked above 7% and then it pulled back a little bit. So what does this mean? You know, yeah, rates are high. What does that mean for somebody buying a home? So I used a $300,000 home. Assume you put 10% down and finance the rest. If you got a 3% mortgage, you're looking at a monthly payment of $1,138 a month. Again, this is just the mortgage payment, excluding any, you know, escrow with property taxes and insurance. And that same mortgage, you know, same house of $300K, with a 6.6% mortgage, you're looking at a 6.6% mortgage rate. You're looking at a mortgage payment of $1,724. So that's over a 50% increase in the mortgage payment alone just in this 1 year. In dollar terms, you know, that's $7,000 a year more that a new home buyer has to pay in mortgage payments that they would have, you know, a year ago. So definitely that's where you're feeling these higher rates the most significant. It's real and it's hitting that market. And that's why I do expect further deterioration in housing prices in general, you know, location, 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 but overall headwinds hitting them there. For those of you who have locked in your mortgage, congratulations. But those who may have a home equity line of credit, beware. Again, on that same graph on my blog post, I also show the prime rate, but that's pretty much what a lot of home equity line rates are tied to. Again, back a year ago, people may have a home equity line carrying a balance. Maybe you were paying anywhere from 3 to 4%, you know, pretty good, attractive, low-cost money. Well, the prime rate goes up in lockstep with the Federal Reserve, and that prime rate, which was at 3.25% as short as March of this year, is now at 7.5%. So you're talking a, you know, 4.25% increase, and I suspect another 0.75 to go with the Fed. So, you know, when you were paying that 3 to 4% home equity line, you're probably now paying, if you've got a balance drawn on it, in that 8 to 9% range. So just make sure you're aware of that. Home equity lines are great, a nice fast source of funds if you need it, but definitely not long-term financing. So be aware of that and try to get that thing paid off. You know, 8.8 to 9%, you know, money, that's pretty expensive. So that's the wrap here. So in summary, December returns in U.S., they definitely fell for the month. International equity held up quite a bit better. Looking at, you know, the value versus growth, you know, value has been outperforming for sure in 2022 here substantially. So it's about a 30% differential between growth versus value in 2022. Interest rates resumed their march higher in December after the FOMC meeting. And the three-month T-bill is now over 4.5%. So 3 month safe, short dated interest rates, 4.5%. The Fed did move 50 basis points at the December 14th meeting. That brings their Fed funds rate range at 4.25 to 4.5. But that summary of economic projections, that was the big news. Looks like they got another 0.75% to go based upon the broad assumptions that the board is using. The housing market is taking the brunt of these rising rates. Mortgage rates more than doubled throughout the month or the year 2022 here. And if you got a home equity line of credit, just be very aware those rates are exploding in lockstep with the Fed moves. So again, Happy New Year. If you're into resolutions, you know, don't only add what you want to do for the year, but think about what you can also drop. And another thing to consider that Bree mentioned to me the other day, focus on what you do enjoy and make sure you do more of that. Okay? Make it a great year. That's a wrap on today's topic. Thanks a lot. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Financial Translator. I hope this discussion helped clear up any confusion and will lead to more confident financial decisions. Thanks for your time, and be sure to check out all of our resources at pvwealthmgt.com. Until next time, go confidently.